This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, let us go up to the mountain. Open our ears to hear God's voice in the clouds. Open our eyes to see God's glory shine through the veil. Open our hearts to trust that God is always with us on our journey, so that when we come down from the mountain, we will not be afraid. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Please be seated. Wonderful to see you all today. Got a lot going on today. Was told we need to do a short sermon. Ready? So today is, I want to focus though on our readings, today is the last Sunday of Epiphany. Next week, Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, so right into Lent, kind of a short Epiphany. Easter is March 31st, right? So a lot going on here. So the focus today is on the first reading from 2 Kings, the Hebrew scripture of Elijah's ascent into heaven, and the Gospel of Mark that we just heard about, this dazzling and most beautiful stories in the scripture. We hear Jesus' transfiguration, very straightforward. Mark's very short, straightforward, to the point type of guy. And he tells this incredible story, very mystical story where heaven and earth meet and the extraordinary human being who was Jesus, who was also divine. So these stories are profoundly human, but they're also talk about love and grief and this transformation. And we hear about the transfiguration, Jesus changing from human likeness to a divine likeness, called a theophany, meaning the experience of God who's ever near in his presence to us. Jesus goes to the mountain to pray, brings his three disciples, Peter, James, and John, and they see him transfigured into this dazzling white. And as I always say, because my wife loves bleach, says, more bleach than anything that's ever been done on earth. She loves that part. Shining with the glory of God and talking with these great prophets, Moses and Elijah. Moses, as we know, had a similar experience when he went up to the mountain to meet God. And mountain, whenever we talk about mountains, considered a thin place, meaning God and man are closer up there. And if you've ever been to mountains, you kind of know the experience. Sometimes you come down, you're like, wow, it's just a beautiful place. And I've had, when we were in Colorado for the 8 years, had a lot of those type of experience is just so uplifting, and it feels very thin, very close to God. So they have this experience, and like I said, Moses had a similar experience when he went up to a mountain and he came down with the tablets, right, with the Ten Commandments. The people said his face was shining. They were terrified. They had to put a veil across his face. So there's all this kind of stuff going on, but we focus on what's meaningful. These stories are not really newspaper stories. They're not like just the facts, ma'am. There's meaning behind them, and the meaning really is this visible manifestation of Jesus, who the apostles walk with and talk with and argue with and ate with. They see him transfigured into this divine figure. So there's this meeting of man and divine. And that's the meaning of this story. And it says the disciples were stunned. They were in awe. Peter just had to say something. And he wanted to contain, right? He wanted to contain kind of this magical, mysterious appearance. He goes, let's build three houses. And let's keep this all here. Let's stay up on the mountain. And as you know, mountain experiences are great, but you got to come back down. But not only that, we hear, listen to him. much like what happened in Mark's gospel with Jesus' baptism. As soon as Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan, there was a booming voice that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So anyhow, this is a real turning point for Jesus as well as his disciples. And it's also a bridge. Jesus, at this point in our calendar year, in our liturgies, he goes from being the healer and the teacher of the people to next week we start how he turns his face on purpose to walk toward the end of his human life, toward his death, toward his resurrection, toward his passion. But ultimately, his journey to the cross leads to resurrection. So there's a bridge from Epiphany today and these readings to the readings Lent, where we start that story. Transfiguration is a glimpse of this veil between heaven and earth, this hint of end times. Jesus says to his disciples, "Don't talk about this till I'm resurrected." Of course, they probably went, "What?" But this is a clue, right? That he's telling them to tell no one, because you really can't, you can see a miracle, but it's hard to describe. And anybody who has seen the miracles in their lives, even just watching a child being born, we're going to baptize Jameson today, that whole miracle of life is, the more you ponder it, the more you're amazed by it. And then as you get a little bit older and become grandparents or aunts and uncles like my wife and I, we see that miracle over and over again. Now, to the story of Elijah very quickly, because this is a short sermon. Elijah's ascent to heaven is kind of an incredible ending to his life. And Elijah, he is known as kind of the greatest of the prophets. So he has this great ending, and he talks to Elisha, right, and says, "Okay, I got to go, and you stay," and all. We hear that whole story. But Elisha says, "I'm not leaving you. I'm hanging on to the bitter end," and he does. And he sees Elijah in a whirlwind, it says, and raised towards heaven. So embedded in these two stories of transformation and transfiguration are stories of grief, because Elisha really doesn't want to let his master, he's the protege of Elijah, does not want to let him go. There's this holy man that he's been following, and he is trying to hold on. Just like Peter, James, and John were reluctant to let Jesus go down the mountain, back to normal, everyday, unfortunate life, right? And they suggest, let's put everybody in a dwelling and keep them here. So there's that stories of thresholds, moments of crossing over from this journey from life to death with their beloved teacher. And this reminds me of scenes that I've experienced with families who go to a hospital, their loved one is dying, or we're in hospice, and in the last days or last hours of the beloved's life. And the family gathers around in a vigil at the threshold of life and death to be with their loved one as long as the journey as they can. And sometimes even after the funeral or the celebration of life, we're sometimes still full of emotion. We're mad, we're sad, we're angry. We're angry of something about, something to do with the deceased or the way they died. So we've been doing this program here called Walking the Mourner's Path. A group of people gather together for 8 weeks. We have some folks here that help out with it. And it's hard to walk the mourner's path. We get together every week for an hour and a half, and it have a book, and it walks you through various things, including kind of the emotion of walking through the mourner's path again. And again, like I said, it's hard because those emotions well up, and who wants to go through that? But since you're doing it alone, on your own, and that never seems to resolve, this is a way to get together with people, share that load, and then doing alone's hard, but sharing the load. I see kind of a miracle happening of people because they share that load. Their burden is lighter because they're walking with others and with God. And this transfiguration and the ascent of Elijah, their encounters with the divine, encounters at that threshold, they're reminders that God walks with us in our journey to the infinite, to unity, to that mystical, unknowing, untelling thing that we just read in these two readings today. And I'm always reminded of St. Paul when he says, when we are alive in the Lord. And when we die in the Lord. So whether we're alive or we're dead, we're with the Lord. So my final prayer is, may we live in hope and die in the certainty of the unity with God and with all the saints. And with that I say, amen.